world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and Phil Henry Show on TuneIn.
Yeah.
All right, so I did hear from a great many of you, not a great many of you, a few of you said, Phil, thank you for providing, not me, but thank you, Phil, through your offices. TuneIn is now a regular, it's a regular habit of mine. I have TuneIn. I have the app. It's on my smartphone. We're listening to your show every night, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. However, Phil, what about some of the technical,
So I'm talking about technical?
Technical issues. I said, well, what? And they said, well, the level was a little low. And so I, today, in concert with our operations director and all-around bitchin' guy, Alex Cohen.
Yeah, you can't say that, right?
Yes, I can say bitchin', because that means good. It doesn't mean anything. It's not sexist.
No, you're sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Just, so, where's Margaret and the general? I hope. I'm just kidding around, Margaret.
Well, I've got to call Margaret. She's gonna be here in a minute, and the general's getting a he's getting a cottage cheese and a wafer.
Yeah, that's great.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. There's something kind of oddball about him with his cottage cheese and his vanilla wafers. But you know what, man? Whatever floats your freaking boat, Jack. I've got no arguments. So we had a meeting today. Everything's good. It's a beautiful thing. So we're going to have the. We're going to have, as I said, those adjustments made as we proceed here with our great, great affiliation with TuneIn. It's a beautiful thing. We're really, really, really happy to be with them. I also want to mention KNEW in San Francisco. We're back with the guys at KNEW in San Francisco, and we're very, very grateful for that. As a matter of fact, KNEW was and is our original affiliate in the Bay Area, and so to be back there, the city that hosts the Sketchfest.
You're going to be on the 26th, too.
Right. We're going to be there on January the 26th, the San Francisco Sketch Fest. So for those of you listening to us there in San Francisco and you want to come out and see us, man, that would be an epic thing for all of us. And so grateful to be there as well. Our number is 855-5, I forget. It doesn't matter. No, it's 855-500-7445. And, of course, online at philhenryshow.com. This is National Meat Month. You ready for that? And as National Meat Month, there's only one guy that I can think of who can talk with us about National Meat Month, and that is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's going to be joining us here this hour. National Meat Month, and Ted has a couple of things he wants to say about a slogan that you are familiar with. It is the slogan of the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant. It's one that he says, and I'm quoting him directly, he paid top dollar for, end quote.
You talking about what? They want to put their meat in the mouth.
They want to put their meat in a mouth. No, that's not it, bud.
No. I know what it's called. You want to put...
No, not you want to put... What is it with you guys? I want to put my meat in... No, they... We, that's it. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Now, that slogan... What are you smiling at?
Well, it has any better than he wanted to put his meat in the mouth.
Hey, bud, if I've got a steakhouse and I've got a slogan that I want to promote, okay, he wants to put his meat in a mouth doesn't sound anywhere near as even approaching what they want. They're talking about their steak.
Yeah, but
I understand what you guys are saying. It's a goofy, it's goofy, man. And it borders on, talk about your double entendre, but Ted says that with this ad agency he worked with in New York, it cost him plenty, and they did full research on it, and they did focus groups, and they did outreach, and they did reach in, and they did reach arounds.
Reach around?
Well, and they, whatever they did, and they found that this was the very solid and beautiful thing that they had to do. So... who am I to judge, man? I don't have a steakhouse. So Ted will be on with this National Meat Month, if you're ready for that. Next month, of course, is Black History Month. Pastor William Rennick is going to be doing some features during Black History Month for us as well. So we've got some things that I'm rather excited about. On Thursday and Friday, I will be on the set of Marin. We'll be shooting an episode with Mark Maron of his great television show on IFC. It's in its second season. And very proud to be a part of an episode of that show. And I'll blog as much as I can. I'll do a little bit of live blogging from the actual set. And it's kind of a difficult thing to do because if you're working, So while you're working and you're sitting there blogging, people are going to look at you and say, well, now, don't we just have life? Great. You can sit there and update your little website. Well, so I don't want to run afoul of my bosses over there, but to the extent that we can, I'll be very, very grateful to be able to do that. And so we'll keep you guys updated on that. And also some pictures from the set there of Mare. That's on Thursday and Friday and maybe on Monday. And just so you know, because we always get this comment, oh, do you guys have a show on Martin Luther King Day? No, we don't. It's a holiday. It's a national holiday. We take holidays off. We take national holidays off. And that's just how that is. Martin Luther King Day is a national holiday. I understand that there's some people that don't think it. I can't imagine. Are there still people that have a problem with that?
Well, every now and again, we'll get people who call up and say, what about a Martin Luther King? And I'll say, what about it? And he said, well, what do you think? I said, well,
okay, bud, don't give me a big, long story. What are they saying?
Well, they're saying, are you going to be on the air? And I'll say, no.
Good. That's all you got to tell them.
Why am I talking about that? Because it's controversial. What's controversial about it? Because Martin Luther King might have been. I'm not saying he was, but he might have been a commie.
Oh, will you get out of here with that already?
What?
What do you mean he was a commie? You know, that's the, you know, of all the rumors that, you know, let me tell you something about communism. That's the greatest thing that's ever been invented for the paranoid whack jobs around the world, communism, because that'll never die. Communism scared the hell out of people, man. Communism scared people so heavy that they're still imagining that it's out there. It's going to make a comeback, you know. And Martin Luther King was a commie.
That's a lot of people think. Yeah, well, you? I don't think he's a commie, but I do feel that maybe he was influenced by commie paraphernalia.
What?
What are you talking about, man? You're just talking about stuff you read.
I'm just saying that it could be.
What do you mean he was influenced by commie paraphernalia? You mean propaganda?
Yeah, propaganda.
No, man. All right,
hold on. Bud, you're just an idiot, and as you get smarter, you'll learn these things, okay?
But you don't think so?
Of course I don't. Anybody that was doing anything that was the least bit untoward, anybody that decided to mess with anything that was a traditionally historic and institutional in America in those days was a commie. If you wanted to fluoridate the water, you were a commie. If you wanted to have equal rights for black people, commie. If you wanted to have equal rights for women, you had to be a commie. If you were in favor of labor unions that would, you know, get a little bit of leverage for the working people, you're commie. I mean, anything that had to do with lots of money and lots of good living with swimming pools and bikini models and Cadillacs and really old guy, all that was not commie. But anything that had to do with, like, enriching the lives of poorer people had to be commie.
Why is that?
Well, what? Think about it, man. What do you mean, why is that?
Yeah, what that got to do with a commie?
Because, why does it have to do with commie? Is because poor people trying to get more bread means that a rich guy who's already got the bread has to pay them. That's commie in the minds of people. Right there.
Well,
no. Right there, that's where it starts. That's communism. In the minds of some really stupid people is all I'm trying to tell you. And in the minds of some people that are not so stupid, but think that if they can keep that myth going, they can really just, you know, hamstring, you know, whatever the efforts may be toward, who knows, you know, like a minimum wage. But your minimum wage is commie. Environmentalism, commie. Anything that has to do with taking even one red cent away from anybody that's got bread is was considered to be communism or some fellow traveler's social pinko. They had all kinds of terms for it, man. I'll never forget. Because both of my parents were fairly conservative. They were not John Birchers, but they liked those terms. Well, you know, he's pink. You know that, don't you, honey? Because my dad and my mom would talk, and...
What are you talking about, pink?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd be sitting there, my sister would look at me like, what does he mean by talk? Is it underwear? I don't know. Yeah, so this guy here, oh, well, you know, well, he's pink. Oh, he's got to be pink. There's no question he's pink. And we didn't have any idea. This was long before there was a pink. And
yeah, it would have explained it.
Yes, it would have explained it. All right, we'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we do have in the offing our good, close, personal friend Ted Bell. He's going to talk with us here about National Meat Month and maybe commie. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. It is National Meat Month, and on the line with us from Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse is Ted Bell. Oh, we got to get Ted's jingle up, because if we do not, we've got ourselves a world of hurt here. Ted Bell sponsoring this portion of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and they're in Beverly Hills, and Ted serves one hell of a steak.
Well, listen, it is National Meat Month, and I'm going to be joining Phil Henry here in a couple of seconds to give you some tips and some ideas on how you, too, can celebrate the National Meat Month and our meat moments. Coming up.
Meat moments.
That's exactly right.
By the way, we had, as you know, Ted, a renewed interest in the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle, the Ted's of Beverly Hills advertising.
You know, I got to tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this with the greatest of respect, and I say this to the audience, to whoever is, you know, I'm getting a little sick and tired. You know, as I said to you, Phil.
All right, let's be nice, though.
I'll be nice. You know, I'm Ted Bell, and that may not mean a lot to a lot of people, my family. You know, let me explain something, Phil, to anyone who doesn't know, but the family name of Bell, the Ted Bell name, the family name, there's blood, all right? Blood has been spilled, okay?
Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean blood has been spilled?
My father died to give birth to this restaurant. My father, that restaurant in Beverly Hills is made out of my father's flesh, all right?
Your father, as you have said to me...
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm not done. I'm talking about my family. And I think I'm better qualified to talk about my family than you. Would you agree with that?
I would.
All right. Yes, you're right. My father was an alcoholic, and my father did a great deal of damage to the Ted's of Beverly Hills name by misspending a great deal of the money that we made. However, he was the one that put his name on this restaurant, and when we go to try to enhance the business of Ted's of Beverly Hills... And I've got a bunch of, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, when we got a bunch of old ladies calling in and saying, oh, well, I don't like he wants to put his meat someplace. Because what these old women do, and I've dealt with them, is they purposefully twist the message. I talked to Sarah Burnell. You know who she is. She's with an organization called the Old Ladies Against Everything.
No, that's not the name of it.
Well, you know, it is called Old Ladies something, right?
It's an organization called the Old Ladies, yeah, but it's not Against Everything. It was started as a social group.
Yeah, there you go. It was started as a social group, and now what they've decided to do is destroy lives. That's what they do.
No, that's not it, Ted. It's not even a political organization. They are non-aligned. What is the word? They're not partisan.
Horse dung. No, I don't agree with that, Phil, because I talked to Sarah herself on the phone, and I said, you know, you old ladies, in any event...
But I can assure you that they're not trying to destroy your restaurant. They took exception to the tagline, and for people just tuning in, they may not know exactly what it is we're talking about.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, let me do it.
You want to say the...
Our tagline, ladies and gentlemen, and the advertising slogan for our restaurant is, we want to put our meat in your mouth. That's it. And it has to do with steak. It doesn't have to do with anything else. I have fought long and hard to make sure that that message is clean and family-friendly. I will not allow it to be polluted by a lot of the juvenile attitudes and antics that go out on the radio. Now, I know Phil Henry to be an honorable man, but I don't think you have a whole lot of control over your audience, Phil. When people take that slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and they turn it into filth. And for me, it is the culmination of almost 40 years of very hard work, and it is turned into a bowel movement. And I say that with, I'm sorry I have to put it that way, but it is as fetid and stench-filled, and it is every bit...
Okay, I understand that something terrible has been done to your business. It wasn't me that did it, but the audience took that, and they ran with it.
Yeah, they ran with it. Yeah, they took it, they ran with it right into a sewer. And now they're swimming. Now they're doing... You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, we're talking with Ted Bell. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Does this have anything to do with National Meat Month?
No, it doesn't, Phil, but I... You know, when you say... Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but this is... You know, we'll get to National Meat Month. Don't worry about it, because what I'm trying to do is set up an attitude on the front of your audience so that when we do start talking about National Meat Month, we don't start doing the Australian crawl through sewage. This is what I'm saying.
All right, I understand that you don't want it to become juvenile. All right, that's fair enough, fair enough. And, you know, Bud, had made the point before we brought you on the air, Ted, that there were some people calling and
well, that's for the old ladies.
Who were they, Bud?
Yeah, it was one lady with an old lady.
Yeah, see, the old ladies are calling in, and they're trying to twist this. And I tell you, Sarah, if you're listening, I know what your organization's about. Your organization wants to destroy Ted's of Beverly Hills because you're bored, because you got nothing better to do, because you couldn't see autopsy photos of the latest serial murders, because you and the old ladies sit there in your...
Okay, you have a personal fight going with these women that I don't know anything about.
No, you don't. And you want to know why you don't? Because I have taken it upon myself to keep you out of the fray, to keep you and your audience as far removed from this episode as I possibly can. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do it. And, Sarah, if you're listening, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to keep you and I, to keep Phil's audience and to keep the general public away from the stink that you and I have become. Because I'm no longer a businessman. You're no longer a retired, you know, an old woman that, not an old woman, but you call yourself the old lady.
Is this what these women call themselves, right?
Yeah, they're the old ladies.
But, I mean, that's the, and they're proud of that.
Well, you know more about it than I do.
Well, I know it's a sort of a, like I said, a nonpartisan political organization of women who are retired, whose husbands, I think, have generally passed on.
Well, that's, I think, what got them going. Their husbands are gone. They sit there in the lap of luxury. I mean, they have got more money than you could possibly ever spend in six lifetimes. And what do they do with their money? They look around like that gigantic eyeball in... Is Dickman there?
Yeah, right here, Miss Bell.
What was the movie with the giant eyeball on top of the mountain?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There, did you see that, Phil?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You remember the eyeball?
I do, and I wish I could remember the... do you, Robert?
No, I didn't see that. A lot of black people don't go see those movies.
Why do you say that, man?
Because it's all about... White people history.
Will you shut up with that?
White people history. Boy, Dickman, you kill me.
What is that supposed to mean?
Damn, there any elves?
What are you talking about? We have no elves, man. You know something? If I want to have an elf, I'll have an elf. If I want to go see that movie, I'll go see that movie.
And it ain't history, bud. It's a mythic world that has nothing to do with reality. It's not even real mythology. I shouldn't say real mythology. It's a mythology that is of recent concoction and invention.
You know, nobody, that's the reason why I have a problem with you. Nobody understands what you're saying half the time.
Let me tell you something, my man. I just said what I meant to say, and if you don't understand it, just pretend like you do.
Yes, sir.
Phil, look, my point is this. I got some gigantic, I don't know whether Dickman knows what he's talking about, what Robert, it doesn't matter to me. I got a gigantic eyeball staring at me from some mythic land. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're, are you saying the old ladies?
I got the old ladies of Beverly Hills are like that gigantic eyeball staring at me way back when. Like when the midget, what was the name of that thing, the midget?
The Hobbit.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's it, the Hobbit. That's what's going on with me. And I feel as if I am one of those hobbits in a cape. Well, I understand I'm not really making too much sense.
No, you're not making any sense. And what happens when you start to put these comparisons together, it comes off as funny as opposed to...
Oh, well, you know something. Anybody laughing at the distress of a businessman...
No, I'm telling you, Ted, it comes off as funny when you start talking about being a gigantic eyeball is staring at you and you're a hobbit in a cape. Okay?
Well, let me tell you something. What is Kate supposed to be gay or something? What does that mean?
Well, Mr. Bell, you don't want to be a hobbit with a hairy feet and everything.
No, I'm not saying I'm a hobbit with hairy feet. I'm trying to make a comparison to something that is contemporary, so that everyone forget it. You know,
you're not gonna score any points for that comparison. But what I'm trying to say to you is, if you got these old ladies that have zeroed in on you, and they don't like this advertising slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Can you tell me what is being done, if anything, to try to, to try to smooth things over?
Well, I mean, I've got a meeting scheduled for next Tuesday with the head old lady, the Sarah Burnell. I'll be talking with her, and we'll see. We'll see. I'm putting together a few ideas. She assured me that she would, and I said, "Do you want to meet for a steak?" And that that pissed her off because she thought I was saying, I want to put my meat, you know. Don't you laugh at me, Henry.
Put him on hold. We'll be right back. World famous. I'm sorry. I did kind of laugh a little bit. Our number is 855-500-7445. Let's just take a break. Ted Bell will be back here from Ted's of Beverly Hills to tell us a little bit more about the, you know, the contretemps with the Old Ladies, a nonpartisan political organization in Beverly Hills that would like him to do away with We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Mouth. And he suggested they meet for a steak. And, well, yeah, all right. Yeah. Woo! Yeah,
turn it off, man.
Well, I ain't turning nothing off, man. I like this song. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. What are you grimacing for, Margaret?
Well, I like the song. She's a cute little girl, that Rebecca Black, but I don't like the mother pawing this child into the entertainment business.
No, my understanding, this girl produced this. Look, I don't want to get into a Rebecca Black rap. We've got this topic on the table right now with Ted Bell.
Yeah, what about you and Jason DeMonaco?
Jason DeMonaco, what is that? Is that some double entendre? Is that some hidden meaning?
Well, you're talking about Jason DeMonaco.
What are they saying?
What do you mean by Jason DeMonaco?
I think you know.
No, I don't know.
Well.
Okay, bud, quit screwing around. He doesn't mean anything by it. He's just trying to piss you off.
You know something? I have had a very difficult day. I had a root canal. And here, look at it, right here. Say, ah.
All right, Margaret, I see it. God.
Well, do you see? I had a root canal, and I had some other surgery done. So I don't want to bring it up because it's private, but I've been in a little bit of pain.
What do you mean other surgery?
Well, I don't want to bring it up, but it was relative to my diet and what bad diet can cause. So.
Okay, all right, so we won't talk about that at all.
Right, but it's difficult to sit down.
Okay, Margaret, we're not going to talk about it.
Fine. God, what a pain in the...
No, he's not the pain in the ass.
You know what?
Hey. Well, you brought it up.
I had some surgery done.
Well, please don't show us.
You know something, Phil? If you weren't the host of the show, I would complain to the district attorney sexual harassment.
How do you say that's sexual harassment?
Because he's referring to my...
You're the one said you had surgery on the butt. And nope...
Easy, bud, now.
How dare you bring up my ass? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't mean that. I don't want this to turn...
Thank you for coming in here, and how you doing, General?
Fine. I'm listening with great interest to this.
You're sitting there with those vanilla wafers, General, and you know I have great respect for you, but when you sit there with a box of vanilla wafers with a half smile on your face... You look as if you're sitting outside of a ward or some dormitory where there's a chain link and barbed wire fence, you know?
You're saying another word. Boy.
All right. Never mind. Why do you insult people?
I don't think it's an impressive look for you, General, sitting there with vanilla wafers. Look at him. He's sitting there just...
I enjoy vanilla wafers. I've got a box of them. And you say I'm sitting here looking like a simpleton.
Yes, as they used to call them, a simpleton.
I take great exception to that.
You look fine to me, General. And I, Mark, I see no reason for you to come in here and start insulting people.
I'm not insulting. I came in to share my day. I was immediately insulted. General Shaw is sitting there laughing like a simple-minded fool. Like a man of 41 going on 13, and the...
Okay, this is what I'm saying. You didn't get the reaction that you wanted, and so you have to start dragging people down. Please. I don't want to get sidetracked. We got Ted on the line, Ted Bell.
I didn't know Ted was here.
Ted's on the phone, and I want to continue this discussion of National Meat Month. Now, he's talking about this Sarah Burnell. You know her. Don't comment yet. Let's get Ted back on the line, and as a matter of fact... while we have Ted on the line, let's talk about the restaurant. Is Ted there?
Ted,
are you there? Are you there, Ted? Ted Bell.
Steakhouse, come on down.
And I got here to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Phil. We are located in Beverly Hills, as fate would have it. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Are we on the air? I can't hear anything coming out of the radio.
All right. We're on the air. All right. Had a little bit of a connection problem there. How are you listening to us on TuneIn?
All right. Say that again.
Are you listening to us on TuneIn?
Am I tuned in? Yes, I am.
Are you listening on the TuneIn app?
What are you talking about? Am I listening to what?
He's asking about the TuneIn app, Ted.
That's Margaret?
Yes.
And what do you want to know, Phil?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you because I'm standing in the middle of a noisy kitchen.
Can you leave the noisy kitchen?
All right, that's a very good idea. Let me... Is that better?
I don't know. Is it better for you?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is... Yeah. Sorry, Phil. I was standing in the middle of our... We've got a party, a big, big party. Got a wedding reception that we are catering... Not catering. We have a wedding reception out on our patio. As you know, we have the new fire pit. And, boy, did I get into a fight with the city of Beverly Hills on that one. But we have a beautiful patio, and we have, of course, the... I don't know what it's called. My wife knows. But it's the thing that has the flowers. It's an archway.
Yeah, what is that, Margaret?
It's an arbor. An arbor.
Okay, say it again.
It's an arbor. It is something that has vines on it.
Well, it's got flowers growing on it. I don't know what it's called. I had to call my wife, and she wasn't home. And so they go through that, and then they sit at the table, you know.
Yeah, it's a wedding reception.
Right, exactly. So we have got a very busy night tonight. But I did want to come on, and I wanted to talk about the National Meat Month because we anticipate having a problem with this lady, Burnell. I'm glad that Margaret is there.
Yeah, let me tell you about Sarah Burnell. I've known her for a great many years. She is a player in the Beverly Hills social circles. Now, I'm not saying that she's an unfair woman. I don't think that she's anywhere as snooty, Ted, as you make her out to be.
Well, I beg to differ, Margaret. You know.
Well, hold on. Let me just tell you what I know about Sarah. She is a widow. You're right. Her husband was a pretty serious producer, executive producer, and director here for many years. Yes, she has a lot of money, but I don't think she's an unfair person. And I think what Sarah is saying, Ted, is that what you're doing at Ted's of Beverly Hills is good for the city. But the advertising slogan...
What about the I have said repeatedly that we mean absolutely nothing salacious or the least bit pornographic with that... slogan.
No, I know that, but one of the problems you run into is what you just said before the commercial break. When you called her up to have lunch there at the restaurant, you said, can you come down? Would you like to have some of the meat or something like that?
Yes, I invited this lady to have lunch at our restaurant so she could see the operation, she could see what a family restaurant it is, and I could sit down and I could talk to her a little bit about the family operation that we are. I said, how about if we do put our meat in your mouth? And that's when she said to me, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You just said you want to put it in my mouth. I said, I'm talking about our steak.
This is an elderly woman, Ted. She's not going to understand the language.
Well, wait. What does this lady need to understand?
Thank you, Phil. What does she need to understand?
What does she need to understand? She needs to understand that she's not being made a fool of, that the public is not being made a fool of, and that there isn't anything going on at this restaurant that Beverly Hills and the law enforcement...
Now, right there, that's almost actionable. I could sue her...
Ted, don't run afoul of Sarah Burnell. She's a very powerful woman.
I understand she is. I'm trying to work with the lady. But if she's telling me that she wants to get the Beverly Hills Police Department involved because there might be something going on... There's nothing going on at my restaurant. It's an advertising slogan.
I know that. And Phil knows that, and the audience knows that. Sarah doesn't know that.
That's why I wanted to invite her down to the restaurant. All right?
Ted, when you went to invite her to the restaurant, why did you say, come on down and we'll put some of our meat in your mouth?
That is what we say to every supplier. That's what we say to every advertising partner. That's what we say to anybody that underwrites or funds or partners or is a corporate entity involved with Ted's of Beverly Hills. We always say that. We say that in our invitations. We say that in our press releases. Come on down. We want to put our meat in your mouth. I send that to Ms. Burnell. She's the only one of all of these people that reacted that way.
Well, you know she was hospitalized.
She was hospitalized.
You're kidding.
No, she had some sort of a, I think it was a hyperventilation or some kind of a problem after Ted said that. She was found on the floor of her office.
After I said that, are you trying to tell me now she's setting me up for a lawsuit having to do with her health?
What I'm saying to you is if you were going to sue her for alluding to some illegal activity that may be going on at Ted's because of the meat going...
No meat going anywhere. It's the steak, okay? The steak.
Then why don't you just say we want to put our steak in your mouth?
Because this was the advertising slogan that had been settled on by Markham & Markham, one of the top advertising agencies.
Please don't yell at me.
Well, I'm trying to be heard. Are there any reasonable people out there, or am I all alone?
Ted, I'm with you, okay? I'm backing you up. I'm just trying to keep this thing from boiling over.
All right. I mean, look, I'm sorry. She got sick how?
Because when you said, come on down and we'll go ahead and slip our meat...
I never said slip. I said, come on down and we'll... Well, all right. So I said something...
Did you say, come on down and we'll have a steak?
What did I just get done saying to you?
No, he said he'd got to come down and have a meat in the mouth because that's what they say.
So you said to this old lady, come on down and we'll put our meat in your mouth?
I believe I did.
No, you did not. No, you did not, because she said to me, you said, come on down, Sarah, and I'll slip my meat.
Oh, bull crap. I did not say that.
Well, she was hospitalized. She was having shortness of breath. And she was on oxygen all that night.
Well, let me ask a question. Why was she on oxygen?
Thank you. Good question.
Well, three guesses, Phil, and the first two don't count. You're an elderly woman. You're in your 80s. You are pretty much resigned to the fact that your life is going to be a lot of socials, a lot of tea ceremonies, a lot of sherry, a lot of a small dog and your female friends. And along comes a man 40 years younger than you and says he wants to slip.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. And she starts having shortness of breath?
It's a compliment to you.
Margaret, don't be silly.
I am not being silly. Do you want to call the hospital?
Well, what do you mean it's a compliment to him? The old lady goes into the hospital because she can't breathe. You're saying she starts having shortness of breath because Ted said he wants to slip his meat? Oh, man.
You know something? I ought to sue everybody. That's what I ought to do. Just you, Henry, everyone. I ought to sue it. The old lady goes into the hospital, shortness of breath, because I said, hey, Sarah, come on down. I'll put my meat in your mouth. And suddenly she's on the floor and needs oxygen. And that's a good thing? It's a compliment to me? God will not permit this to happen. I am going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny.
Oh, that man is very sick.
Not only that, he's quoting Patton there.
Yeah, really?
Yes. All right, we'll take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Obviously, there is a series of controversies erupting over National Meat Month and Ted Bell running afoul of an organization, a group called the Old Ladies, who don't like that slogan. Ted made the mistake, and I do say it's a mistake, of inviting the head of that organization to the restaurant to have him slip his meat into, you know. So we'll talk about that. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on TuneIn now, the Phil Henry channel on TuneIn. So we suggest and we certainly hope that you'll join us on TuneIn. No matter where you are, if you have a smartphone and you have the TuneIn app, you can now listen to the Phil Henry Show live. So in answer to so many queries that we've had from the very beginning when we launched our self-syndication effort back in August, where can we hear you, where can we hear you, where can we hear you, Phil? You can hear us now wherever you are. All you need is the TuneIn app. And you slap that baby on your whatever phone, your smartphone, and
you said iPhone. People are gonna think you gotta have an iPhone.
Oh, what is that, right, Bud?
God.
Bud, what a baby.
Yeah, what are you doing that for? Because he goes iPhone.
So? So what? What do I gotta argue with you for, man? You work for me. I don't work for you.
I'm trying to keep everything, because I gotta answer that. People gotta call in and go, how come Henry said iPhone and I have an iPhone?
How come Henry said iPhone and I have an iPhone? That's not fair. He was talking about an iPhone and all I have is an iPhone.
Ha ha ha! What an idiot, man! Shut up! That's what they said.
Well, then I suggest you don't need to talk to me about it or even talk about it on the air. Tell them, hi, did you just say what you said? Yeah, you're a moron. Thank you for calling the Phil Henry Show. Click.
Yeah, man, that's all you say. Talk about a guy.
Yeah, okay. And then if the guy goes, okay, then I'm never going to listen to the Phil Henry Show again. Click.
Then you say to them, well, that's just too bad. We're very sorry to hear that, sir. I know there's nothing we can do about it. Have a nice day. Click.
And what if he says, you know something, Phil? You're the big... Click.
You're the biggest click.
Never mind.
You didn't do that good. Me and Mr. Henry was doing it good.
Oh, well, hey, isn't that nice?
Me and Mr. Henry was doing it good.
Talk about your double entendre.
No, that's not gay.
Well, it sounded... I'm just sitting here with a bottle of what, see what I'm drinking, Phil?
Let me see that. Cranapple.
That's right. You know what cranapple does? It cleans your prostate out. It cleans out the kidney. It'll clean... It flushes everything out so that when... And forgive me, Margaret, I know that... but I mean this in a health... So that when you urinate, you should urinate pure spring water because that's how clean...
It doesn't make your urine that clean.
All right, I don't want to talk about this, okay?
What are you talking about, spring water?
Hold on. I'm not going to be grotesque, Phil. I just want people to know. If you drink the cranapple, it's called the cranberry or cranapple, it purifies the urine so that when you urinate, it is fresh spring mountain water.
Oh, my ass. Come on.
What do you mean, my ass? What does that mean?
I mean that I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Well, Phil, it stands to reason if the general...
No, it doesn't stand to reason, General. Can I tell you something about the whole cranberry thing, okay?
Look, Phil, don't tell me. I tell you, all right? You don't say no to me. I'm the one that says no to you.
I understand, sir, but if I may be permitted to speak freely.
Proceed.
I have heard that that whole cleans out the kidneys thing with cranberry juice was a beautifully conceptualized rumor created by the cranberry industry to, you know, get people to buy it.
Oh, the cranberry industry. Well, yes, the gigantic cranberry juggernaut. What a jackball and a half.
Are you kidding me that a cranberry going to do that?
I think that's a good point, Phil. I don't think the cranberry lobby has it.
Oh, well, okay. I don't think it's the cranberry lobby. I think it's a consortium. I think it's the growers, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? What's everybody looking at me like I'm a freaking weirdo? You've never heard of that kind of lobbying?
Well, Phil, as Margaret said, the cranberry... they don't have that kind of political... Cranberry growers are little people. They're simple people. They're rural people, and they don't know from Washington. They grow their cranberries, and they pray to Jesus somehow someone will buy them.
What are you talking about? We're living in America here in the 21st century. This isn't like mid-19th century New England.
Well, where do you think the cranberry people... Do you think the cranberry people... Never mind, you're looking at...
We're not... speaking of hobbits, you guys are talking about cranberry growers like they're hobbits.
I don't know what a hobbit is, but I'm getting a little upset here. The cranberry people... are simple people who live in areas that are remote from the telecommunications. They grow their cranberries, they take them to market, they get their few pennies, and they walk back to their farms.
And you really believe that, huh?
Don't look at me like I'm a senile old freak. Yes, I believe that.
Come on, General, go get another cranberry.
Get your hands off of me. I'll do it myself.
Oh, he's pissed off again.
Yeah, well, you talk about cranberry people.
You know something? I'll tell you this right now. There's no cranberry people unless, you know, just because it's a cranberry, because I know the way he thinks. He thinks that because it's a cranberry, oh, well, they're simple people, and they just grow their little cranberries, and they get their little pennies, and they go to market. What does he think? Does he think they're going off to market with bonnets on?
Phil, I think that the general has a point. The cranberry people...
What do you mean cranberry people? Makes it sound like they're hobbits.
Well, whoever grows the cranberries, they go off to market. They get the few paltry pennies they can for their meager cranberries. They get on the ox cart. What is it that you don't understand? What are you laughing at?
Well, I'm Miss Gray.
No, I'm asking Phil. I'm not asking you, Robert. What are you laughing at?
They get on their ox cart.
Yes, they get on. Not everything is a corporate farm, Phil.
Well, yeah, then let's tell everybody out there, folks, there's hope. You know, it's not all Minute Maid and Monsanto. There are the cranberry people, and they get on their ox cart after they make...
After they make what? After they go doo-doo? Is that what you... After they make that... Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I mean. Let's go now to Ted Bell. Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm going to tell you something. If I got to listen to much more of this, I'm going to slam this phone. I'm not only going to hang the phone up, I'm going to tear it out of the wall. I'm going to throw it right out in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard. And I, if no one comes along and runs it over in the next few minutes, I'll get into my car, I'll swing a U-turn, which is what I got to do to get out onto Wilshire, go out onto Wilshire, swing another U-turn, so I'm going back westbound. I'm going to go through all of that just to run that GD phone over. You understand where I'm coming from?
I understand. We're going to hold you over, okay?
You're going to hold my what?
You know, if I wasn't completely... if I wasn't completely cognizant of the fact that it's impossible to pull what I think he's pulling, I'd think he's pulling it.
What's he pulling?
Trying to make this whole thing even more convoluted and confusing than it already is, okay? World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Ted Bell. I want to find out who the attorney is representing this Burnell, you know?
Yeah, the Harvey Weierman.
Weierman is. That's perfect. He will be back. Can we get him?
Yeah.
We'll get Harvey Weierman on the line with Ted Bell to talk about the old ladies who want to get rid of this advertising slogan at Ted's of Beverly Hills. The Phil Henry Show. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show here, hour number two. I hope I don't get used to saying that. Hour number two.
Well, what's wrong with that?
It just sounds hour number two. What is that? That's like saying, hey, this is mile number four on our trip to, you know, on our 800-mile trip. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program, and we have Ted Bell with us. Harvey Weierman's going to join us in a moment. He's representing Sarah Burnell, who's the head of Old Ladies, or the Old Ladies, a group of women in Beverly Hills that are increasingly at Ted Bell's, you know, at your throat, Ted, complaining about the Ted's of Beverly Hills advertising jingle. Let's get Ted Bell up here and continue talking. We'll also bring on Harvey Weierman to talk with us.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted Bell here reminding you that Ted's of Beverly Hills is open, come rain or come shine, come old lady or no old lady. Old lady, you know, old lady, don't pee on... No, never mind. Don't pee down my...
What are you going to say?
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining, but I...
Well, that's very classy.
No, I feel, Margaret, I'm not here to get your approval. I'm not here to get anyone's approval. I'm here as an American businessman trying to do some business, support my family, and not have an old woman who has nothing but money and time try to choke off the supply of funds and capital that keeps my life every bit as sweet as she gets to have hers. I don't understand that either. What if I went to her money, wherever that's located, whatever, you know, whatever can of nickels she's buried in her backyard?
I think that is very unfair. She's living on the estate of her late husband.
All right, well, that's fine. You know, she can live on anything she wants, but she's coming around because she's got no time, she's got nothing to do. And she's got all the time in the world, and she decides she's going to throw a dart at a dartboard and it lands on my face?
Well, do you really believe that that's it, or is it just simply a clash of values here?
Oh, it's a clash of values, all right. It's a clash of values, all right. It's the clash of these values. I work, and she's an old lady with a small dog in her lap. That's the clash of values.
That is absolutely unfair, and it's ageist, you know.
What do you mean, ageist? Margaret, you know... Would somebody speak English?
In other words, she's saying that it is a bigoted, unfairly prejudiced against old people, elderly people. Harvey Weierman is joining us, the attorney from San Marino for Ms. Burnell here. He's on our newsmaker line on the Phil Henry Show as we discuss with Mr. Weierman the position of his client. She doesn't like this slogan that Ted's of Beverly Hills uses, which is, we want to put our meat in your mouth. National Meat Month is here. Harvey, and Ted is going to begin doing a series of features for us called Meat Moments. And all of this is being threatened with, all of it's being threatened with suspension, if you will, by the actions of your client.
Well, you know, Bill, this is a great country that we live in. You know, I fought for this country in World War II, and so I appreciate the freedoms that we've got. But you're not free to tell an old lady, you know, that he wants her to come down to the restaurant where there's no one there. And
wait, hold on for a minute.
I want to finish what I'm saying here.
Hold on, Ted.
I'm going to finish what I'm saying. He says to an old woman, let's go down to my dark, empty restaurant, and I'll put a meat and I'll get the meat out, you know, and...
I never said any such thing.
Look, Ted, I'm not saying that what she thinks you meant. I'm saying that what you said, an old lady with a little dog, a big car, and a guy that drives it for her, a young guy that drives it for her, and all the money in the world, isn't going to get that young guy to even consider the old lady, you know? And so...
Well, that's not my problem.
No, it's not your problem, but she's going to take it out on you.
Well, what are you talking about, all the money in the world?
She's got this whole... Sarah's got... Ms. Purnell has a young driver, and he's got the big arms, and he's a hunk and all what they call it, and he's a model, but he's gay, and so he wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole, and so she's angry about that, and she wants to take it out on Ted. You're going to have to just bend over, smile, and bite down on the towel, and
why are you even entertaining this client?
Why am I entertaining the client? This is great. You know that I do a lot of pro bono work.
Oh, she's rich.
Hold on. You know that I do a lot of pro bono work.
Yes.
All right. How do you think we're able to do pro bono work? That is free work for the poor and for indigent people. And when we take on a client like Ms. Purnell, who is nothing but money, and I say, and I think, Sarah, if you're listening, you understand, you don't even see a woman there. You just see a big green piece of paper with a man on it, you know?
You see a big green piece of paper.
Well, that is the single most offensive thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, you know what, Margaret? Ask your husband, who's also an attorney, and ask him how that pro bono work gets done.
I understand that you are able to do a lot of free work for people because you do have wealthy clients who can underwrite a lot of that.
Exactly. And I'll tell you this. I respect Ms. Purnell. She's been around in Beverly Hills for as long as there's been a I think she was here when there were orange groves and a covered in a wagon with a, you know, I swear to God, the woman is old, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, but she's very old. Very old. And she talked to me once about the orange groves on the hillside. I said, are you talking about Beverly Hills? And she said, yeah. I said, that's before, she said, yeah, and when the Keystone Cop came down the hill. And I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she remembers Max Sennett filming around there.
Oh, yeah, she remembers Max Sennett. She was driving when she almost ran into some kind of an ox cart.
Well, how old is she?
I haven't the guts to ask her.
Let me tell you something, Bill, she's old. She's old, and when I invited her down to the restaurant to break bread and to have some peace talk so that we could work this out.
By the way, Ted, I mean, when you said peace talks, you used that word with her as well. She also took offense.
Well, you know something? I would suggest that you tell your client to get her mind out of the sewer, okay?
Well, why don't you tell her that? She's my client. I'm not going to tell her that.
I said, let's have peace talks, and she thought that was P-I-E-C-E?
You make up your own mind. I won't say anything.
I got. I'm telling you right now. I'm hearing this, and I'm more and more on Ted's side. You know, it sounds like she's being unreasonable.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, Ted, you're getting a little hysterical because when I tuned you in, I was on the freeway coming home from work, and I'm listening to. That's what I'm hearing. That's what you sound like. You're just yelling and screaming.
Well, I think now I'm beginning to see Ted's side as well. If she's saying that everything the man says is some kind of a sexual double entendre, that is mentally unbalanced. And I think that Ted deserves better.
Well, look, when I took over the case, I said to her, Sarah, I said, look, you know, this guy all he wants to do is put the meat in the mouth, and I tried to make it as unoffensive, and she hung up on me. So I called her back, and I apologized. I said, I put that in a very wrong way. I said, what I wanted to say was he wanted you to come down to the restaurant, and he was going to put it on a plate. He was going to put his meat on a plate. She hung up again. So I understand that...
Wait, wait, she's hanging up on you? She was hanging up on you?
Yeah, yeah, she's hanging up on me. Every time he says anything that you can take as a sexual double entendre, she's hanging up.
Well, why don't you take the situation in hand, Harvey, and begin to explain some things to her?
You know, I even said that. Let's take the situation in hand. She hung up because she thought I was talking. I said to you, I said, Sarah, you got to be kidding. Do you think that I was taking the meat? And she said, you put it on a plate, you put it in my mouth, you got it in your hand. She said, what else do you want me to think? And I said, you know something, you really take the cake, you dirty old... And she hung up again.
Well, I'd hang up on her, on you then.
No, but I said you dirty old, and then I called her back, and I apologized. Let me tell you how to call this old bag back. Who's that? It's Ted. You know, Ted, you got to lower it down, because you really sound like a hysterical little girl.
All right, hold on. Ted Bell and Harvey Wireman with us. What do you think?
I think I see Ted's point. I think this Ms. Purnell, and I know you, Sarah, if you're listening, you've really got to get a grip. Not everything a man says, and she did this with her husband, too. Every time he said, you know, let's go here, let's do this, everything was a sexual innuendo. I think there's probably something that's a little off about her, but nonetheless, I understand entirely when a man says to me, or if a man said to me, my restaurant is closed, it's dark, let's go down to my darkened, closed, padlocked restaurant, and I'll slap my meat on a plate.
Okay.
I
think you're really being ridiculous there.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Oh, give me a break, bud. Don't start like you're... Who do you think you are, anyway? Tom Donahue?
Who's Tom Donahue?
Who's the one that was Donahue?
You're talking about Phil Donahue.
Well, I don't know.
All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show, and, boy, that's Phil Donahue was the talk show host. Tom Donahue was the father of FM rock and roll radio. And I'm Phil Henry, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, TuneIn is now on our homepage. So if you are on a desktop or a laptop computer, there is a live stream of our radio show right now on our website. If you are on an iOS device, you have to click the play button, but TuneIn can be accessed, or the live stream of our show can be accessed on our website right now as well. World-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the line with me is Ted Bell. We also have Harvey Wireman with us, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard in studio, along with the General Galen Shaw, who is, as always, enjoying his retirement. And I like having you here, General, and we appreciate you being with us.
Well, you know, Phil, and by the way, I went into the desktop computer, and I was able to access your live stream of the tune-in.
Yeah, we went over, we listened to it, and it sounds pretty good.
All right, the live stream on our website.
Yeah, well, we went to the philhenryshow.com. Is that your website?
Yes.
All right, that's where we went. And then you go to another page, and what you do...
No, I understand, and people can...
Yeah, and people can listen on the desktop if they don't have the iPhone and so on and so forth. Bud, you know more about it.
Yeah, if they don't have no iPhone, they ain't got to do that.
Yeah, great.
That was helpful, bud. If they don't have no iPhone, then they gotta do that.
Quit making fun of me just because you are rich.
Yeah, Margaret, that's a good point. Because you're rich, you're making fun of Bud.
How dare you? I'm a liberal.
All right,
what do you mean, kid?
Well, Margaret, that sounds stupid. How dare you? I'm a liberal.
What's wrong with that?
It sounds like a caricature. How dare you? I'm a liberal. That's like someone saying, how dare you? I'm a Republican. I wear this flag on my lapel, and that means that I pay my taxes and, whatever. All right, so...
What you just made me look like an ape in a tree, and the Republican looks like Jack Buck. Or what's his name?
Jack Buck.
Who's the wild game hunter?
You're talking about Frank Buck.
Yes. I'm the ape in the tree, and the Republican is Margaret Mead.
Margaret Mead?
Phil, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Margaret Mead was the one that studied apes?
Whoever it was, who studied the apes, please?
Well, I believe you're talking about Jane Goodall.
No, Jane Goodall studied chimpanzees.
Chimpanzees, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, Margaret, will you give it up with the chimpanzee? When I came to work here on this radio show, that's the first thing she did with me. She cut me in a corner, and she said, now, let me tell you the lay of the land around here. You're a chimpanzee, and I'm the head ape. Did you know about that?
No, I did not know about that.
I didn't get you in a corner.
Yes, you did. You laid the... But the thing... See, what she do...
Slow down, General.
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
No, but Phil...
Hold on for a minute. You got him in the corner and you said, I'm the head ape and you're a chimpanzee.
I wanted him to know the pecking order around here.
Well, no, I'm the one that does that, not you. I am.
So you're saying to me that as a woman...
Margaret, don't start pulling the sex card, okay?
Yeah, she's pulling out the race card.
Not the race card, you jackball.
I'm not pulling it.
Not pulling out the race card. What are you crying for?
She's crying because she wants to manipulate you and everything. Because she has nipples, she wants to manipulate you.
You are a vulgar, filthy old man. You really are. As you sit there with your box of vanilla wafers, grinning like you took one off the head.
Oh, look, there she goes. She's looking for her tampons.
How dare you?
General, come on. I would expect more out of you.
You expect more out of me. You guys act like you work in a sewer, but you expect more out of me.
Yes, sir. Margaret?
I'm in the bathroom.
Every night it's drama. Every night it's drama.
I tell you, man. I told you about it. I warned you and I warned you and I warned you and I warned you.
You didn't warn me about diddly squat.
Yeah, I did. I said you put these two together.
Don't point your finger at me like I'm something in a glass case. I'm here. I'm a man.
Yeah, but you and Margaret together, man, that's bad. That's bad medicine.
Oh, God.
You know, Phil, you laugh. You laugh probably the way you think, in spasms of glee and madness.
Right. That's me. That's exact. You got it right, General. I laugh the way I think. Spasms of glee and madness. Perfect. All right. Let's bring back our good friend and close personal ally, Ted Bell, from Ted's of Beverly Hills, as we continue discussing here the Sarah Burnell case with Harvey Weinman.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill, for allowing me to talk for, what do we got now, 4 minutes in this segment after you and everybody jawjacked the living hell out of chimpanzees, apes. Good Lord. Margaret Mead.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
We want to put our meat in your mouth. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Phil, leave the jokes to the people that...
Oh, excuse me. Weren't you just talking about Margaret Mead?
I thought you wanted to move on.
All right, let's get Ted in here. Ted Bell joining us. Harvey Weinman also on the line with us as we discuss. All right, so Sarah Burnell, Harvey, I have the attorney. You are representing this woman. What does she want?
Well, what she wants is for Mr. Bell to cease and desist, suggesting that he have a lunch with her and then his meat, you know, and...
Well, that sounds asinine. Is he continually asking her out to lunch?
That sounds asinine. I'm glad that you're a lawyer. I didn't know that you'd argued cases before the Supreme Court like I have. Okay.
Well, look, Harvey, it's a little ridiculous, I believe, to say that he needs to cease and desist on something that he did once, apologized for, and isn't doing it anymore.
Well, I think what she's got is some kind of a compulsion that he repeat the episode so that it can be properly dealt with, meaning she wants a phone call from Mr. Bell asking her to a dark, padlocked restaurant where he will then say, can I slide my meat, etc., and she'll be upset, and the police get involved, and then he apologizes, and that will satisfy her.
So in other words, a police report has to be filed so that I don't get sued by somebody who has this black hole for a pocket. Is that what you're trying to say to me?
Yeah, and I don't think there's a blackmail going on. There's not going to be any police report. She wants a proper apology.
And it's not good enough for him to just say, I'm sorry.
No, it's not, because, and also, you know, he's still going to be using this slogan. Now, I understand Mr. Bell has paid a pretty penny, and I am certainly aware of that for this slogan. she would rather that you not use it. There are a great many people that she is trying to protect. She's very old, and she remembers Beverly Hills when, essentially, there were cattle drives going through here. So this is someone to respect, and as I get the information, when I get it, you'll get it, okay? If I don't get it, you don't get it.
Well, he's starting to use this asinine dog day afternoon lingo, and I don't know what you're talking about, Harvey. I've known you a lot of years, but she must be paying you a lot of money to shovel this manure. Honest to God. You know, I'm not, you can't just buy me, okay? Well, you're representing some old lady. What do you mean she was here when there were cattle drives?
How old is this woman?
I will not ask a woman her age.
She remembers cattle drives.
She remembers, yes, about 75 or 100 beeves being driven through here. So that's why I'm trying to give her the respect that she's due. And if you could simply, Ted, call her up, tell her, hey, how about coming down to the Darkened Padlocked restaurant?
Yeah, I have to say Darkened and Padlocked.
Yeah, because it'll sound threatening. And I'd like to slap it on the plate, and she'll say, how dare you? And then you say, I'm terribly sorry. Is there anything I can do? How about if I come to your house and scrub your toilets? Now, you won't have to.
No, hold on for just a minute.
You won't have to, I'm saying. But you're just simply paying homage to her.
So he has to grovel.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Ted, it's worth it to get it off of your back.
Oh, man. I'm Ted Bell, okay?
There's no one that doubts that, Ted.
No, I'm Ted Bell. My name is on one of the biggest billboards in the city of Los Angeles. I rule over this entire town, and I got to grovel for the old lady. I got to say, can I come to your house and do what? Scrub out toilets and panties.
Hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Ted Bell, Harvey Wireman. This is getting really interesting. We don't have that much further to go, but we still have a ways to go with this because I just heard...
Well, he's supposed to scrub out panties.
That's what I heard. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com, and now available on our website, a live stream of our show, audio only, and it is by way of TuneIn. If you have a smartphone, you can get the audio, obviously the audio TuneIn app, or if you'd like, you can come to our website if you're on your desktop and check out the live stream at our website, philhendryshow.com. So, we've gone from absolutely no live stream access to our show other than the premium access that our Backstage Pass members have, and they have the high-quality video cast. So what we give our Backstage Pass members that is live is not only the audio but also the video, and it is a very, very high-quality stream that they're getting.
So what you're saying is, but if you want to go to TuneIn, you can get some real crap can...
I didn't say that.
No, he's not saying that. Did not get no video.
Don't, talk about it being bad. It's a fantastic stream. It's a fantastic quality stream. I'm just saying, the stream you get with the video cast is like top-of-the-line, big, broadband, badass stuff, man. Okay? And by the way, it's going to use a little bit more of the juice on your smartphone. If you are accessing the show, and for those of you that are watching, there's my smartphone. You can see my iPhone, and there's our video cast right there. That takes quite a bit of battery power. I've got this thing plugged in as we speak. But if you just want to listen to the audio, you can do that through TuneIn. The great people at TuneIn we've been working with. And you can also go to our website, and there's a live stream. All of that is free. That is not a part of the premium package. And we're very, very happy to do that, happy to provide that for you. Ted Bell with us from Ted's in Beverly Hills. We're going to just wrap up here what has been a fascinating conversation bordering on the bizarre. Concerning Ted and the problems he's had there with the old ladies of Beverly Hills. Harvey Wireman with us too, his attorney. And Ted, I know that, I know that we're not exactly doing the kind of hour that is going to be conducive to commercial, to your commercial, advantage. But nonetheless, people are hearing you as a businessman, and I think you're acquitting yourself very well.
I think you are as well, Ted, and I think that, Harvey, you have been a little unfair mocking Ted and saying he sounds hysterical.
you know something?
Well, hold on a minute, Jed. If I didn't mean to say you sound hysterical, but you have been going... And nobody said nothing to you?
Nobody said nothing to you. Anything like this. Here's a guy that's an attorney, and he's talking about rich.
You know something, my friend? I work my rear end off.
No, I don't doubt that, but you've got the grammatical grasp of one of those shirt tails, one of those dead rabbit punks that used to haunt the streets of 1840s New York, garroting people, wearing bowler hats, and running around,
You're talking about bowler hats.
You're talking about cattle drives in Beverly Hills.
All right. Weren't we going to work something out here?
Who are you talking about me?
I'm talking about you representing this client, this Ms. Purnell.
You said that she would be satisfied with certain provisos.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I just got off the phone with her, which is what I want to say. She called in and she's amenable to you not coming down to her house and actually scrubbing the toilet or doing any kind of, she called it BSD because she was enjoying the Phil Hendry show. And she said, a PSP. I said, well, that's his backstage pass. She said, what's that? I said, it's a subscription, Miss Purnell. And she said, well, I've got BSD. And I said, well, what's that? She said, it's something only Ted can qualify for.
She's getting a kick out of this. I hope you're hearing this, Phil and Margaret and everybody else. She's getting a real kick out of humiliating me.
No, hold on.
Well, wait. What is BSD?
Understand, Ted. You just have to say yes to it, okay?
No, she's getting a kick out of humiliating me. What's BSD?
It's bacon strip duty.
Oh, I hope she gets cancer.
Oh man, did he really say that? Hey, Ted, are you there? Ted, are you there?
If he hung up, it's a guy. Well, I better not say, gee, it's good that he did.
He did hang up.
Yeah, okay. All bets are off now, my friend. All bets are off. The war is on. She wants that put the meat on the plate or whatever that thing is that he does. I'm going to tell you, Phil, I've been an attorney for a long time. I've never had a guy who had victory within his grasp, who had his hands wrapped around his own you-know-whats, and they were in his hands, and he could do anything he wanted. Scratch, rub.
Can we please clean this up? There's a lady present.
I apologize, Margaret, but it's like he was sitting there having a beer with his hand.
Okay, Harvey, I understand, and he blew it.
Yeah, he blew it. He blew it big. Wherever you are, Ted, if you're listening, and I know you are, because you are such an egomaniac, you are turning the radio up and hearing every time you hear your name, you turn it up louder. Wherever you are, you blew it. You blew it bad. And I can only tell you...
What happened?
Disconnected.
Well, he's going to call pissed about that, because he's going to say that we wound up making him look like he had egg on his face because he had a big closing line and the line went dead and somehow my fault. I'm telling you, I deal with four-year-olds.
What is going on here, then?
What's going on here is that Bell's going to be involved in some kind of a legal action or some sort of a civic effort put forward by this old lady that's got a lot of money. You know, the people with a lot of money, man, can cause a lot of problems. They can get a lot of things done. She can hire all kinds of lawyers. She can do whatever it is that she wants to do. And she wants to get rid of Ted's advertising slogan. And the thing that's unfair about that is it is not exactly it's not out on a billboard, is it, Bud?
Well, Deb's going to have it on a billboard over there in Hong Kong Charlie.
Oh, not that guy.
Yeah, but the whole thing of Hong Kong Charlie.
Were you over there, General?
Well, let me tell you, hold on, everybody just shut up, because I talked to Hong Kong Charlie myself this afternoon, and I said to him, is there a billboard anywhere on the same street with your restaurant that says we want to put our meat in your mouth? And you know, Charlie, he plays it close to the vest. And he says to me, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. Who's asking? And I said, you know full well who's asking. General Galen Shaw. And he starts in with that whole, the laugh that he, ha ha he he he, you know, he does that little laugh. I said, Charlie, you know that I'm a veteran of Vietnam. And you know that when you laugh like that, it reminds me of when we broke into that prisoner of war camp, and you had left those little recordings of the Ewoks. Did I tell you about that, Phil?
What do you mean he left?
Well, no, I didn't mean he, but the Vietnamese did.
You broke into a prisoner of war camp?
Yeah, there was no one there, And the Vietnamese, actually, the NVA, had left little tape machines that were playing with Ewoks laughing. I never told you that?
Oh, my God, that is Ewoks. That's before Star Wars.
Well, yes, it was before. It sounded like, I don't know what they were, but they were hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Wow, I never heard anything like that. I never heard anything like that in all of the stories I've heard about Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, I said, Charlie, look, you know, don't do that, because that's what the NVA did. And then he turns around and points at his rear end and goes back into his he's a very nice man, but he loves to really ratchet it up.
Okay, so what's the point here?
The point is this. I said, have you seen Ted Bell around lately? He said, no. And I wrote it down. Let me, hold on.
Wait, your notebook is there.
Charlie no see Ted Bell, me no see.
I know he speaks better English than that.
Well, yes, he does.
Well, then why did you write that down?
Because I feel more comfortable writing it down in that kind of broken...
Give me that.
I just do.
So in other words, he said it in proper English and you wrote it down as if he's right off the boat.
Yes, I did. And if you think that's unfair of me, all right. But I'm more comfortable that way.
Man, I don't understand where and how some of you guys, the way you think...
No, not you guys, Phil.
Yeah, you guys. He speaks proper English.
I didn't say proper, did I?
He speaks proper English, but I wrote it down fractured like he's just off the boat, because that makes it more comfortable for me. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, Phil, and if you'd like, we can spend the whole next hour talking about it, too. What a... Boy, this guy, you won't let go of it, will you?
Well, Ted, we're trying to find out how we can solve a very serious problem here with that whole BSD duty. She didn't need to do that.
No, I mean, I would say to Harvey, if he calls back...
Yeah, he did call back until I hung up on him.
Why did you hang up on him?
Because he hung up.
He didn't hang up. The phone line cut off.
Oh.
So you're going to have to tell him or whoever that we want to get him out. She can't do that BSD duty.
Well, she did it because of your BSP.
Bacon strip duty.
Yes.
Well, you see what I'm saying? And this is what I mean. You've got to begin to treat people with decency and respect and kindness.
And you're the guy that wrote down, let me see, me no see Ted, he no around.
Phil, it's the way I relax.
All right, I'll have to get into your reasons for that. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, of course, we are online at philhenryshow.com with our live streaming video cast with a backstage pass. Not only do you get our live streaming video cast, you also get close to 5,000 hours of our archives, over 5,000 hours now, it's got to be, of archived radio shows from The Phil Henry Show, many generations of The Phil Henry Radio Show going back 15 years, a radio show like no other, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I like this music. It's like The Phil Henry Show.
It's very dramatic.
The Phil Henry Show is a very dramatic thing.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we are at the El Pacifico tonight, as we are each and every night. And we hope you join us either on your radio, on your tune-in, or online, as we also, as I say, simulcast a video cast for you here at philhenryshow.com. So we've had a really contentious discussion here. Ted Bell is on the line, Harvey Wireman with us, as we continue to discuss. And I think I've got Ted back and calmed down a little bit. I agree with you, Ted. I think that that's very insulting to say that she wants you on BSD duty. I think you should allow Harvey the explanation.
Well, you know, I want Harvey to explain, as I said, but understand, I'm a businessman of long standing at Beverly Hills, and when some old lady... Watch it, Ted. Now watch it. What do you mean, watch it? She says to me that I ought to come up there and scrub the bacon strips out of her panties? And this woman, no one knows how old she is? First of all, you have no idea what kind of horror awaits me in terms of that duty. And then, what kind of cleanser am I supposed to bring? You understand that we've got two things here.
Don't be ridiculous, Ted, okay?
No, I'm not being ridiculous. Hold on. No, I am not being ridiculous. You're trying to turn this into a kind.
into a comedy routine, in a bit routine, you know?
No, hold on for a minute, man. You said to me that no one knows how old the old lady is. Didn't you say that?
I said we're not clear, yeah.
All right. If I got to go up there and do bacon strip duty, I'm not kidding you. What am I bringing with me, 409?
Oh, will you grow the hell up? Now, what I'm trying to say is,
I'm trying to grow up.
You got
to
let Harvey explain what the proposal is.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is this. She doesn't want you to actually go to her house, collect underwear from the hamper, go down to your house, get an industrial drum size, a janitor and a drum, and go to work on her underwear. Although I would probably guess, were you asking my legal advice, I'd say that's probably what you need.
All right, that's all I was asking.
I would say janitor and a drum are probably some kind of a solvent like that, a gasoline solvent.
Is that what attorneys do? They give advice on how to clean underwear?
Phil, that is very disrespectful.
What, are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. You two clowns are sitting here wasting time on how to clean an old lady's underwear when you just said, what, bud?
You just said lunderwear.
Yeah, you said lunderwear, Mr. Henry.
Did I really? Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Should I said lumberware?
No, it's underwear.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I just thought you ought to know.
You two guys are about as stupid as the day is long. You should just allow us, you just, the two of you sit there and eat your corn chips and wink at each other, whatever you do.
I'm not winking at him.
Yeah, okay. The point being that you want to get on my case, Henry. I'm just trying to avoid a damn fight out here, okay? I'm just trying to avoid a fight.
Well, right now we haven't gotten any closer to it, so allow me to mediate if I could. I'm just simply asking, and I believe that what I'm... what I've already heard here, Ted, is that the old lady doesn't want you to do all of this. She wants you to acknowledge that you will do it.
That's exactly correct.
So she wants to humiliate me.
I'm afraid that there's an element of that, yes.
I don't think it's humiliation.
Why not?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I agree with Phil, Ted. I don't think it's humiliation. I think everyone knows what the old woman is trying to do, and I think everyone would be on your side here.
All right. Here's what she wants. She wants you...
I think I wrote it down here. She wants me to acknowledge that I'll clean her toilets and her underwear, and that I will stop using the we want to slap it on the plate slogan or put our meat in your mouth.
But she added one more. I just got off the phone with her.
Oh, come on, will you?
It's just one more. You don't have to do any of this.
How many of these things has she added?
Just the one, Phil. I swear to God, just the one. She wants you to walk her dog. She's got the small Pekingese, right?
Yeah.
And wear that little plastic glove and pick the dew up. And she wants you to always walk two steps behind the dog and make a flourish with the hand as you pick it up. All right? Will you acknowledge that you would do that?
I don't know what you just said.
I'm saying I'd be happy to repeat it. She wants you to walk the dog, remaining two steps behind the dog. When the thing craps, you have to pick it up with a plastic glove. You should be wearing a suit with a white dress shirt and a tie, by the way, that is too tight-fitting in the waist.
What is this, anyway? What? I don't understand this.
This is the old lady's getting her kicks, okay? You're the guy, man, that wants to avoid a big legal action.
Okay, is she trying... If she doesn't want you to do this, it...
All right.
And she wants you to then, with a flourish with the right hand, up over your head, then bring it sweeping down and pick up the dog dew, holding it in the air and showing it to every car. Sorry, I had to sneeze. Showing it to every car that goes by.
I want to say something here. I'm not
finished.
I want to jump in with a comment.
You're not allowed to jump in with any comments. You have to listen, keep your mouth shut while I tell you the various things you have to do.
That's three. Are there more?
I'm afraid there's one more, yeah.
Wait, hold in. Now I'm jumping in. You said there was only one more.
She just got off the phone with me.
Wait a second, man. You were just talking. How could she be on the phone with you?
Well, she was. This old lady has got money.
Well, just because she has money doesn't mean she can be talking to you on a phone while you're talking.
You would be surprised. I've dealt with a lot of wealthy people. She's so rich that she can make it seem like I'm talking on a phone when, in fact, I'm actually talking to her. It's a dimensional thing.
Oh, will you get out of here?
What did you just do, you jackass?
Oh, God, Phil!
What's going to happen now?
Yeah, why did you do that?
I'm not going to listen to this guy with a cross-dimensional this. I think everybody's nuts. There, do you want my honest opinion? Everyone there is nuts. Why'd you put... Harvey?
Yeah, you don't hang up on me.
I just hung up on you if you're going to insult my intelligence.
You wanted me to answer a question, I answered it, okay? How did the old lady talk to me while I'm talking to you? It's got to have something to do with her control over the different dimensions of creation. Now,
All right.
Well, what, are you saying that he's nuts?
I think everybody related to the Harvey Wireman Experience, which is it should be the name of a band. We had the Jimi Hendrix Experience. The next generation is the Harvey Wireman Experience, which is dimensional travel. I think they're all fruity. And I think that, Ted, if you're listening, which is one thing I will agree with Harvey about, you are listening because you have an ego that big. I wouldn't agree to anything. I think the old lady is going to be in a nut house.
Phil, that is, you're asking him to gamble with his future.
Yeah, well, no, it's not a gamble. If she's got an attorney like that, Harvey's losing it. She's probably already nuts. I bet you anything, before anything got settled in this case, before Ted is harmed in any way or is having to pay any kind of penalty or is taken to court for any reason, they'd have her in a butterfly net. There's no way that old lady is going to see, you know, too much more free time. I think she will be under lock and key very, very shortly. All right, I do appreciate everybody's efforts. We do have to bring Ted Bell back on because it's National Meat Month, but I suppose I could probably cover that myself, do you think?
Well, you know, I think you're asking quite a bit to have Ted Bell back on and talk about the Meat Month when he's had his freedom and his business threatened.
Well, then maybe I can handle this. What we're going to have here, folks, over the next the remainder of this month is we're going to have a series of meat moments with Ted Bell, and these will be available on our website as well as available on the Sideshow Network, and they will be discussions of and a celebration of and, you know, generally a whole thing about meat. January is National Meat Month. It's a great time to pause and take a look at just how much America loves its meat, as well as uncover new ways to enjoy and celebrate. In fact, according to a recent story on National Public Radio, during 2012, over 52 billion pounds of meat was consumed in America. Get a load of this. For an average of 270.7 pounds consumed per person. That's almost a pound a day. Well,
that's like 3/4 of a pound of meat a day.
Yeah.
That's a quarter pounder with cheese a day.
No, man, I said 3/4.
3/4 pounders with cheese a day. So we'll have more on this as we, I don't know what you want to call it, continue here throughout the month of January, National Meat Month. I dig that, man. I like that. It gives us an excuse to barbecue in the snow. How about that, huh?
God, people ought to be barbecuing out in the snow.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. For those of you who are looking on Phil TV right now, behind me you see the St. Elmo's bar menu. St. Elmo's Steakhouse is in Indianapolis, and I don't know how we got on this, but, well, we were talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is a great steakhouse, but St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, Indiana is probably the best steakhouse. Don't tell Ted I said this, although he's probably listening right now. He'll probably call in and rip me a new one. What are you doing, bud?
Look at him. He's going to the phone.
I'm just going to call the weather.
No, you're not. You're going to call Ted up, aren't you?
Man, what a low thing to do, man.
I just want to know what time it is.
There's the time right there.
Yeah, you know it's right.
You're calling Ted.
No. No.
Yeah, you are. I don't care. Go ahead. Ted knows. He knows. Ted's not stupid. He knows St. Elmo's goes back to the 30s, man. I mean, this place is the... Oh, baby. And there is the menu. That's the bar menu. I haven't even given you the menu I was just checking out, which is their main menu, has every kind of steak, every kind of seafood, all kinds of delicious chops and chickens. And these cats aren't advertisers. I'm just telling you, this is a great old place. Now, there was a picture on the homepage there. I don't know if you saw that or not. But it was a picture of the restaurant in the 30s. And I was saying to the audience during the break, I said, you know, I discovered this place with my close personal friend, Tori Ryder, who's a broadcasting colleague, and...
Well, and she was your girlfriend.
Okay, but what do you have to...
Yeah, Mr. Shannon, you should say.
Well, what is this, truth in lending? Or why do people have to know that?
Well, doesn't her husband know?
Yes, he knows that she was my girlfriend at the time. Would you...
Phil, I think the audience needs to know these things so that everything is up front and there are no secrets and people feel comfortable with what you're doing to them and...
With what I'm doing to them? I mean...
Well, Phil, I think there, as you said, it's truth in lending.
Truth in lending what? I'm not lending money.
No, you're not lending money, but it's... So this was a young lady that... So you were traveling, not married. Were you sleeping with her?
That's none of your business, and the discussion is over as far as who I was traveling with. Do you understand?
Oh, get him.
Yeah, you're getting all upset about it.
I only wanted to know, because this could color your opinion of this St. Elmo Steakhouse. Did she like it?
Yes, she did like it.
Well, it could very well be that you like it, too, because she was...
Oh, I see. Because she was doing things for me sexually, I'm going to have to like the... I got to like the steakhouse she likes.
Go ahead and laugh, Phil. It doesn't matter.
Your voice cracked there.
What?
You went, go ahead and laugh, Phil.
Yeah, you did, Miss Gray.
Isn't that nice? Do you enjoy humiliating me? Do you enjoy walking up behind me and pulling my gym shorts down?
Miss Gray.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, God. I got a lady, by the way. Speaking of that, Margaret, you'll be happy to know a woman. Hello?
I'm in the bathroom.
A woman on Facebook posted a comment, and she said, Mr. Hendry, I really enjoy your show, but the women on your show represent the very... You must have issues with women. She said, you must have some serious issues with women because the women on your show represent low class. They belch. You have the worst kind of women on your show. And I said, I don't have any issue. I don't have any issues with women beyond any issues that the average man has with women, whatever those may be. You know, and...
Yeah, and then she goes, click.
I wasn't talking on the phone with her.
Oh. You thought it's on Facebook, man. Oh.
And I said to her, no, I have no issues with women beyond the normal ones. I said I had a mother... And any man that had a mother, which is all of us, is going to have some sort of view of women based upon his experience with his mother.
Yeah, and then you then click.
I wasn't on the phone with her, buddy. You listening to me?
Why do you keep saying click?
Because she hung up on him.
I wasn't on the phone with her, man.
You wasn't on the phone, man. It was on Facebook. Oh.
I'm back because I can hear Bud... You really, Bud, if anybody could cut short a good pee, you're the one.
What are you doing here?
I cut short urinating to get back in here.
No, Margaret, go back and finish whatever it is you're doing.
No, because you're giving that woman the excuse now to post another comment saying that I'm a slob and a pig, which is what she's saying.
Essentially, yeah. She said that, but it was all my fault. She wasn't blaming you. It was all my fault for having you on the show. And
so that means that my son, Jason J. Delmonico, will have issues with women because of me, according to this woman that was commenting on your website.
Exactly.
And then what? Click.
Margaret, are you listening?
I'm sorry.
Who hit the table?
I did.
Everybody just back off and relax, okay?
Yeah, man, everybody's not like all going freaking out.
I'm sorry, I thought you were on the phone with her.
I was on Facebook with her.
All right, Phil.
No, you didn't go click.
How am I going to go click, man? No, I didn't go click. I'm on Facebook. I wasn't on the phone. God. So this woman I responded to, and what happened was the following thing that often happens. People who are on the page, you know, are there because they're fans of the show. Why would you be on that page if you weren't? But it wasn't that anybody ganged up on her, but some people said, well, look, you know, whether you know this or not, ma'am, you're acting just like a lot of those women on that show, and they, you know, they mentioned you.
No, wait, hold on for a minute. So this woman that was saying the women on the show are pigs reminded other women of me?
Yes.
You've got some really confused list. I would love to meet the women that listen to your program. They must take handfuls of medication every morning.
Why would you say that?
Are you serious? Did you hear what you just said? Oh, hi. You remind me of The women on your show are pigs. Well, you remind us of the women on that show that you think are pigs. Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, no, nobody said thank you. You're welcome. But yeah, that's essentially what the conversation was. And I nobody said that the lady was a pig, but they said that you were acting exactly like the very women that you say you don't like.
And people were following this.
You know, I can't follow a head or tail out of this, Phil. And I'm so grateful I had the career that I had in the United States Army, because if something presented itself...
All right, General.
No, I'm going to finish this. If something presented itself as effed up and jacked over and jive-assed as what you're saying, I would be able to release the safety on my sidearm, and I think you know the rest.
Blow your own brains out?
That's an option, yes, sir.
God, General, I'd be bitching. That'd be like what Hitler done.
I beg your pardon.
Hold on for a minute, General. You would be able to kill... I think what's going on here is there's a bit of hyperbole, and I don't think anybody means anything they're saying here.
No, I mean entirely what I... If I had some woman on my website page, fan page website, or whatever you call that garbage, God almighty, if it was me, I would take the computer and I'd throw it off a cliff. The highest, most windswept cliff I could find. Because the thing, I think people are...
Here, General, here's a napkin.
What for?
You need to blow your nose or cry?
I'm not crying.
All right. The internet experience, there's no question, General, is real strange, and you do meet some pretty whack people, but they probably think I'm whack, so...
And what do you mean, whack?
I mean nuts. 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 So... Behind me there, all I wanted to do was just give kudos to a great place, because we discovered this place traveling from Minneapolis to Miami, stopped in Indianapolis, checked in at that Embassy Suites, asked the guy, is there a good restaurant, because we were starved. He says, you better believe it, right down the street and hang a right. I think we walked, and there it was, St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I went in there with the checkered tablecloths and the sports memorabilia on the wall, and the greatest waiters, just the nicest guys. And I'll tell you what, man, I got no problem tipping 20%, 25%, 30%. If the service is fantastic, if the people make you feel like, God, I've just walked into the greatest restaurant in the world, man, I love to reward the service, don't you?
I think Frank loves that. I'm a little cheaper that way. I expect a certain level of treatment. I think that... The beginning is good service in terms of the food. Whatever happened to the courtesy bow? Whatever happened to keeping your eyes averted? These are some of the touches that I enjoy. I don't know if St. Elmo's. I know that Verve's in Beverly Hills. I know that the Swan in Phoenix.
What is this?
What are you talking about?
Phil, don't scrunch your face up again. When they avert their eyes from yours, if you look directly at a waiter, he should cast his eyes to the ground or look away. The better waiters will put their hand up and look away, almost as if it's a bright ray of sunshine. You've never heard of this?
I've never heard of this in my entire life.
Well, these are some of the better waiters. I don't know. It's very old school.
No, it's not old school. No. They will bow at the waist, put their hand up as if there's a bright beam of sunshine burning their eyeballs, and they'll look away and say, good evening, ma'am.
I've never heard of anything like that before in my life.
Well, Phil, don't talk about it like it's a disease. Your guy never heard of anything.
Yeah, well, that sounds kind of weird, man. I would never do that.
Well, then you'd be fired.
I wouldn't do it either. That sounds like you're a slave.
Then you'd be fired, too. Anybody else?
Who would want to do something like that?
Someone that wants a good tip.
All right. That's very interesting. So they avert their eyes.
Yes, they put their hand up as if to block the beams. I can't believe I'm having to explain this.
Phil, this is one of the old world, old school waiter. If you're just an old waiter, you do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, don't look at me like I'm... So you think I'm mad, huh? You think my mind's coming undone?
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll discuss this further during the break. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And as I said, not only online at philhenryshow.com, but also tune in. We are now available through your TuneIn app. All you have to do is go to the App Store, download that sucker, and also on your desktop, go to our website, We've got a live stream of our show airing right now. Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico every night until 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Online on our website as well as at TuneIn. And we have been celebrating here the last couple of nights the fact that we are finally available to you, a live stream of our show on TuneIn. And that certainly does not in any way, shape, or form mitigate our grand and great appreciation for the radio stations we have, one of which is in the city of San Francisco, KNEW, where we have recently gone on the air. And that's also the home of the San Francisco Sketch Fest in its 21st year, and I'm going to be there on the 26th of January doing a little one-man performance for you. Just so you know, it's going to be a one-man performance without any bells and whistles. It will be much what we do when we have our fans, you know, at a lot of different events. You know, when we did the podcast, the pod, what was it called? The Pod Fest, right?
Well, yeah, it's called the Podorama.
It wasn't the Podorama. It was the Pod Fest.
The Podathon.
It wasn't Podathon. Anyway, we did the Pod Fest. Bobby Dooley was there, and people wanted to meet Ted Bell, and they wanted to meet Steve Bozell, and they wanted to meet Margaret. They wanted to meet you.
Yes, you told me that all of the fans came out and wanted to meet everybody, not just Bobby.
Exactly.
And I think I don't know why I'm smiling, but I think that it makes me feel better because I realized then and there that Bobby having her own podcast was good, but they wasn't going to fulfill the real need, which was to talk to, and I say this with great humility, but to talk with me and with others, but I think mostly with me. So I know that is she on hold?
We got Bobby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that before she gets on the air, because Bobby, as much as I really love and appreciate her, she does tend to dominate, and I think you know what I mean, darling. I'm not trying to put you down at all.
Well, no, you're not trying to put me down, but you say that I'm dominating.
Yes, I do. You dominate the conversation.
Well, I just had a very, traumatic holiday.
And again, the drama that you're introducing now is what?
May I say what I want to say, because I've listened to you. And I had a very traumatic holiday.
Well, all right, I've said what I've said.
All right, so we've heard what you had to say, Margaret, which was Bobby tends to dominate. What happened, Bobby?
Thank you, Phil. I had Steve's family here from Hudson, Wisconsin. They were here, as is the Dooley tradition. They were here from the 17th of December, and they left on January 2nd. I love my husband, Steve. The Dooleys are wonderful people. There's also the Laboons. The Laboons are Steve's mother's sister, his aunts, and his uncles. The Laboons were here for most of that period of time. The Dooleys generally will be here for a week, and then they'll either get an embassy suite or stay over at the Marriott or one of the hotels. But the Laboons stayed here. And stayed here rather recklessly, I think. They inhabited the home and did so in a flourish of smells and sights and sounds that I know I won't soon forget.
All right, the Laboons.
This is your husband's who?
This is Steve's aunt and uncle on his mother's side.
All right, and what can you be, when you said a flourish of sights and sounds and smells that you won't soon forget, can you tell us?
It's a little traumatic, but I will. Unflushed toilets.
Oh, my God.
Unflushed toilets, food left on countertops, food in beds, food that has been stepped on and has not been picked up, but has been stepped on and walked on and stepped on and walked on, until it is smeared into our carpeting, and takes a carpet cleaner to, and something that I've never seen before, people that have spit onto the ceiling as a competition. This was engaged in...
Wait. Spitting on the ceiling. What is that about?
It's a competition between the men on the in the Laboon clan to see who can hit the ceiling. This was in the bedrooms. Until the 2nd of January arrived, because I'd given my word to Steve that they could stay until the 2nd of January. When the 2nd of January arrived, I went into our garage. God forgive
me. We're with you.
Darling, I know I've criticized you, but we're here for you.
Thank you. I went into our garage. I emptied one of the Clorox bottles that I had in there out. I filled it with gasoline.
Good God.
I put a rag in it. I held a lighter. And I went into our home. And I stood before Steve's aunt and uncle and his cousins. And I said, if you people are not out of my home, I'll burn you all alive. And I'll take the consequences later. I said, get out. Get out. Get out. And then I collapsed. I don't remember anything else.
Tell me you didn't light that.
No, I didn't.
Well, I can understand being pushed to the edge like that.
There were empty beer bottles. There were empties everywhere. Empties in the garbage cans. I found empties in the bedrooms. I found empties in near our pool. I just went into the garage. I emptied it out. I filled it full of some gasoline that Steve had purchased for the lawnmowers. I put a rag into it. I said, don't for a minute think I don't know what I'm doing, because I do. I said, I threw one of these into a parked car, and you should have seen them, and I used the N-word. I said, you should have seen them N-word scramble.
Was that, what are you talking about?
When my boyfriend and some of his friends had gotten into my dad's car, and I couldn't get them out.
Oh, so this is just a boyfriend?
Yes.
Tell me you didn't light that Molotov then.
No, I didn't.
What did Steve say?
Steve's right here.
Yeah, Mr. Ender, I understand about it. And I gave a statement to my wife after she'd done it, and I gave a statement to her.
And Steve gave me a statement. He said, I support you in all that you do. I love my mother, and I love my aunt and my uncle, but you do what you had to do. Signed, Steve Dooley.
Yeah, I support everything about it.
So you supported your wife as she stood there with a Molotov cocktail ready to light it and burn your home to the ground?
Yes, sir, because of the empties and the smeared in, and apparently there was mac and cheese that got smeared.
All right, hold the line here.
That is wild. Oh, thank God I wasn't there.
Yeah, you imagine that, man? What if she would have lit it?
I'll tell you now, that is nothing to laugh at.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and... PhilHenryShow.com. That's about as wow. I don't know what to say about that. We're going to be right back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley as they continue talking about the holidays just passed. Ms. Dooley apparently so distraught with her slovenly relatives that she threatened to light a Molotov cocktail and burn them all alive. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com. I got this St. Elmo's on the brain now.
Well, you've been fooling around looking at that thing, haven't you?
I have. We have the St. Elmo's Steakhouse. See, that's the Phil Henry Show. We're not getting paid by these businesses. I just pick out a business that I like, and I talk about it. And I don't think we've obsessed over...
Well, it's a very worthy place, Phil. St. Elmo's Steakhouse is a... long-standing institution in Indianapolis and in the Midwest.
Yeah, but the thing that was amazing for me, was the luck that I had in finding the place. I mean, it was just, I wasn't even going to stop in Indianapolis. I was going to blow on through to I don't know where the hell, you know.
Well, what's the next place you'll blow through to? Indianapolis, the next stop would be Louisville, wouldn't it?
Yes, you're right, General. If you're going from Minneapolis through Chicago down to Miami, you're going down, I forget the interstate, but you're going through Gary. You go down to Indianapolis, you hit Kentucky. You roll on through the Blue Hills of Kentucky to Indianapolis, excuse me, to Louisville, and then you go from Louisville to Chattanooga.
Well, what about Nashville?
Oh, Nashville, I forgot. Yeah, Nashville you hit.
Well, there's bound to be some good steakhouses and meat, and particularly the chop places in Nashville.
Chop place? I don't know.
What do you mean chop places?
Talk about pork chop and everything?
I'm talking pork, lamb, anything that they you know, I don't know.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
I've never been.
Well, it's a great city, I'll tell you that. It's a fantastic city. And Vanderbilt University is there. It's tremendous. And now Louisville, I've never stopped in. I've blown through Louisville a number of times. That looks like an interesting city.
Well, Louisville is the home of the Kentucky Derby and the bluegrass, you know.
That's a music.
Well, it's music, but also the horses are raised on the bluegrass. Are they not?
I don't know. Is there bluegrass?
We're talking about bluegrass.
That's the grass that they grow in Kentucky.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's bluegrass or if it's...
No, bluegrass was the music, too.
Yes, it's music, but there's also the... Well, there's some kind of grass that makes the horses go fast. I don't know.
No, I don't think there's any grass that makes horses. It's the culture of the city and the culture of the area that horses were raised, and thoroughbreds were raised there, and racing became a part of the local culture. I don't know that the grass is any more...
Well, it's better to have a kind of grass that make a horse go fast.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think there's any grass they grow there that makes a horse go fast.
Phil, I want to ask you a question. Could I?
You know, because...
No, yeah, but I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Why do you have to be contentious with every GD point that I make?
Margaret.
No, why do you have to do that?
You do that, Mr. Henry, when Margaret tries to make a point.
Because what Margaret says sometimes...
Not sometimes, every time.
No, I do not disagree with everything you say. What do you mean they got bluegrass that makes the horses go faster?
I don't know. It stands to reason.
Why? Because there's a lot of horses that come out of Kentucky. There's a lot of horses that come out of California and Florida, too. And now there's a lot of horses that come out of New York.
New York City. There's a hot one.
Yeah, right.
New York State. The state, okay, where there's grass and fields. Not New York City.
Well, it all sounds pretty far out to me.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. But, you know, that's the facts, Jack. So, yeah, Louisville. And then beyond Louisville is Chattanooga.
Now, here's an interesting point, ladies and gentlemen, and I think Phil Henry should be very honest with you about this. You went to the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Woo!
You did, didn't you?
Yeah. So what?
I'm sure. Would you go choo choo and pretend like you're the engineer?
What is it with you guys? Is that some kind of an embarrassing thing?
Well, I mean, wasn't there anything else to do, Phil?
Frankly, no. To be honest with you, but I'm sitting in a hotel in the guy said that's the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah, what's that, Mr. Yo, I'm in the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, gee, is that the Chattanooga Choo Choo, sir? Did you get the brochure?
Are you telling me that if you were in Chattanooga and there was the Chattanooga choo-choo, you wouldn't go over and at least look at it?
I'd rather not.
The first thing I'd do is look for a place to, A, go to the bathroom and get a drink. Jesus.
Hey, give me five.
Yeah, that's...
Get out of here, give me five.
Well, did you?
I don't know. I might have had a drink, but the guy said, there's the Chattanooga choo-choo. I go, oh, yeah, really? So I walked down and I looked at it.
Man, I don't know, Mr. The first thing I'd do... is go to the bathroom and get a drink. I'm a general.
Yeah, give me five on that. Yeah.
Would you guys knock off with a give me five? Well, I didn't, okay? I went and I looked at it. I'm kind of a... Call me a square if you want, but that's what I did.
Are you the kind of guy that if you went to Europe, you'd want to go look at a castle?
Yeah, I bet you are, Phil, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm that kind of a guy.
Boy, I'll tell you something, Phil. When you were born, there was the corn cob right in the ear.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man.
You know, you guys think you're so hip. But there's a lot of things to see in this world, and not all of them are the approved stops on the tourist whatever the hell it is, you know.
On the tourist, whatever the hell it is.
Here's one that'll shock you. When I went to China, do you know what I did? I actually went to the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, everybody do that.
Oh, would they really? I see all of that cornball stuff.
You tell me you go see a castle, huh?
Yeah, I'd go see a castle. Who the hell wouldn't go see a castle?
Let me tell you something, Phil. The first thing I do...
I know, is get a drink.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You know, I'd rather go and see stuff than sit on my ass in a bar and suck down booze, man. The only time that I'm going to be sitting drinking is if I'm on a cruise ship and there's nowhere else to go but to the bar. Sit there in a bar. You go. If you're on a cruise ship, that's a great excuse to just sit there and get hammered, man, because there's nothing else to do.
Well, I don't know. When I was on the cruise, Frank and I took the Danube cruise. And, oh, my God, it was absolutely glorious. The Danube River. Do you know the Danube River?
Yeah, sure.
What's that?
It's the river that runs through Austria, the Danube River. Do, 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 do. Does it ring a bell?
No, I can't.
What is that?
That's the Danube Waltz. That's the Danube Waltz.
I thought that was the Strauss Waltz, the Richard Strauss Waltz.
It's the Dan... If I say it's the Danube...
All right, it's the Danube Waltz. That's fine.
And we were on the beautiful Danube River, and I said, Frank, would you look at the beauty of this place? And he said, darling, it's all for you. And that's when he goes and he has a cocktail and then takes a nap, and only then. But he must be on deck with me. Do, 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 do. And then later that evening, we went and we sat at the captain's table. And I said to the captain, I want you to know this. I said, Captain, I've taken many cruises, and I have to be honest with you. I don't like the way you are steering the ship. It feels as if it's going back and forth in the river. You look slovenly. And we shook hands, and he went back to his quarters and changed. Go to hell.
Oh, hey, Margaret, come on.
No, no, I will not...
Why'd you laugh at her?
You gotta be kidding. Why did I laugh at her? Are you kidding?
Well, it doesn't seem kind of weird.
Well, what are you laughing at the woman for?
She's sitting at the captain's table. Hey, Captain, I hope you don't mind, but you're steering the ship kind of weird, and you look slovenly. That's beautiful, man.
So you do approve?
I'm laughing. And she has to leave because she's embarrassed. I tell you what, Margaret. Only on this show would they put up with that crap. I can't believe that one.
People don't do that?
Hell no, people don't do that. Are you kidding me, man? You're sitting there with the cat. I've never been on a cruise. I've been on two cruises, man, when we took the kids down to the Caribbean. That's it. But if you're going to sit at the captain's table, aren't you supposed to be all polite and crap?
I don't know.
That's what I thought, man. Here's a really sad story. The 24-year-old grandson of the founder of the Vail Mountain Ski Resort was killed and three others suffered minor injuries on Tuesday when a huge avalanche swept down a mountain outside the resort. Man, this snow. Man, a lot of snow falling. And this is a fatality. I was talking about, this terrible storm that has been sweeping across the country. Have there been many fatalities? And I think we had, some news last night. There have been 14 that Layla, who was our good friend on the Facebook Phil fan page, she said 14, which is 14 too many, you know, but that's not a terribly traumatic number given the severity of this weather. And then you have this. This is a young man, a 24-year-old young man who's a skier, and he's the grandson of the guy that founded the Vail Ski Resort, Tony Siebert. He's the grandson of Vail founder Pete Siebert. He died in the avalanche at 11:30 in the morning today. At local time in an area known as East Vail Chutes that lies just outside the boundary of the resort, according to the Eagle County coroner there. She said the cause of death would be determined in an autopsy. Three other people who were skiing or snowboarding in the same area were also caught in the wave of snow and were treated for minor injuries, man. What happens in an avalanche? I imagine you just get pushed down the mountain and you run into something. Maybe in some cases people are buried and they have no access to air. I don't know. We'll be right back here. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show, giving you all the news, good, bad, and like in between. The world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and now on TuneIn. Find us the Phil Henry Channel on TuneIn. the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com. We're on TuneIn as well, and we broadcast every night from the El Pacifico out here on the furthest western edge of this thing on the West Coast till 10 o'clock, and we broadcast till 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, welcome to everybody listening to us on TuneIn. Very excited. On Thursday and Friday, we will be shooting an episode of Marin with the great Mark Marin, who is the host of the single most popular podcast out there, I think, along with, you know, Adam Carolla's got a popular one, Chris Hardwick, The Nerdist, and the Mark Marin WTF podcast. Huge, man. And he's now doing the second season of his show on IFC. So from the set there, I'm going to try and do some blogging and keep you guys up to date on, you know, how the day is going. You can follow along on our website, philhenryshow.com, to see just exactly, you know, what's up with us. So as I was saying, it's National Meat Month, and I didn't really get through a whole lot of this, you know.
Well, are you going to be talking about food, for God's sake?
Yes, I'm talking about food. I'm talking about meat, you know.
And this is what the old lady wanted to take Ted Bell down about, and here you are, just meat, 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 meat.
Yeah, you know what? And old lady, if you're listening, go ahead and sue me. The average American, now get a load of this is just meat facts, you know. As I said, Ted is going to start in with meat moments, which we will be featuring on our website, as well as on the Sideshow Network. Over 52 billion pounds of meat consumed in America for an average of 270.7 pounds consumed per person. Now, we figured out that maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 3/4 of a pound a day. And 3/4 of a pound a day is 3/4 pounders, if you want.
Nigga said that they put stuff in the meat.
Yeah, they put chemicals in the meat to make you want to have it more.
I don't appreciate what he's saying. What are you saying?
They say they put chemicals in the meat for you to want it.
I don't like that at all.
He's saying that the word is they're putting something in the meat to make you crave eating more hamburgers.
Well, then have him say that, please, and not makes you want the meat.
Margaret, you know, not everything is some filthy, dirty, dirty little story in a dirty little paperback.
Well,
you know, everything with you is a dirty little paperback story.
When I grew up, there was a lot of dirty, filthy little paperbacks that we'd sneak looks at the drugstore. And...
do you miss those days?
I ought to slap your filthy face for that. You know that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I should reach across and just slap your filthy face. Do I miss those days? Yes, I miss being a young woman and going into the drugstore. And the filthy, dirty little paperbacks... the lesbian...
yeah, you...
don't say it, bud. Don't say it. Because your mother may never see you again.
I bet you liked it.
All right.
Hey, hey! What? Watch it.
One of these days, Phil's not going to be here to stop me.
I bet you liked it.
Shut up, bud. For readers in South Florida, this is from a South Florida magazine, a South Florida Examiner, actually. For readers in South Florida, this works out especially well, considering that the South Florida Fair is running right now from the 18th of January to the 3rd of February. You can sample meaty favorites ranging from steak on a stick to maggot burgers. What is that?
Well, now, isn't that appetizing?
Meat is a tradition for many people, as well as a great source of numerous vitamins, minerals, and protein, says Ryan Fichter, executive chef at the Bodega Spanish Tapas and Lounge and Thunder Burger and Bar. Oh, yeah. Most people tend to stick to eating beef, pork, chicken, turkey, and fish. This month, though, it being National Meat Month, if it's National Meat Month, does that count for fish, too?
No, it doesn't count for fish. That... it would be National Fish. I don't think the fish has anything to do with it.
Fish is meat.
No, it is not meat. It's fish.
Wait a minute. That's ridiculous. Of course it's meat.
How do you figure that fish is meat when meat is a cow and a fish... you know, you're going to really piss me off. What are you talking about?
General, just because when I was... you were Catholic, right?
I still am, thank you very much. Not like you.
All right. You think that because on meatless Fridays, as Catholics, we had fish, that means that fish ain't meat?
If that's what God intended, yes.
Well, I don't know that God... all right. All right, yes, you're right. God intended that. But I'm saying, how can you reasonably say that fish is not meat? It's meat.
General, fish is meat. It's the meat of the fish.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Is an artichoke meat?
Of course an artichoke is not meat.
And yet they say there's the meaty part of the artichoke. Ah, and the meat and the what? And the meaty part of the
the meaty part.
Why are you smiling at me? I don't like it when he smiles at me and we're talking about meat.
All right, take it easy. Host a potluck. Well, here's what they suggest. Try a sampler. Most people like beef, pork, chicken, turkey, and fish. This month, vow to expand your culinary horizons by trying something new, such as a buffalo or ostrich burger. Have you ever had that?
I don't think I ever have, no.
I've had both.
What it tastes like, Missouri?
They tasted delicious. Ostrich burgers I had. There's an ostrich burger place up near the University of California, Davis, UC Davis, up, near Sacramento. And then if you get off the freeway here, I'm talking about here in California, if you guys travel to California and you go north of L.A., there's a town called Solvang. Yeah, you get off the freeway on your way to Solvang, there's a huge ostrich farm, right?
No, that's those are emus.
Well, what's the difference, for God's sake? It's they're on one leg, aren't they?
They're what?
What do you mean, one leg?
I'm talking about those birds that walk around on one leg. Isn't that a one-legged bird?
No, you talk about a flamingo. And a flamingo is not it's not meaty.
The flamingo, all right.
Yeah.
Well, the flamingo ain't got a lot of meat on it.
We're not talking about how meaty a flamingo is, all right?
Yeah, you ever had a flamingo?
No, I've never had a flamingo. I don't think anybody has.
If I ever catch you eating a flamingo, I swear to God, Bud, I'll kill you and I'll take my consequences. The flamingo is the most beautiful animal there is. If I ever saw you sitting down to flamingo wings, God,
I don't think anybody's going to be eating flamingo.
Well, if I ever see him sitting down to hot flamingo wings, and I'm not trying to be funny. See, look at him laughing.
Talk about it.
Hot flamingo wings.
It's a beautiful animal, and I'll have none of it.
All right, so no one's going to eat. I wouldn't eat flamingo if it was the last thing. Are you kidding?
And yet you eat ostrich. Very interesting.
I'll eat ostrich because an ostrich seems like it's a big, dumb, fat bird. Yeah, sure. Flamingo, I don't know, man. I draw the line at flamingo. That's like eating pigeon or something. I don't know.
Why do you say that?
Because flamingos look like they're probably scavenger, nasty birds. Aren't they standing all that filthy water, eating all that crap? I don't know.
God, man, now I don't want to have no flamingo.
Good.
All right. Host a potluck. Host a potluck that is focused on everyone's favorite meat dishes. This will get everyone Bud, she gets angry when you look at her and you laugh and smile.
No, I saw him doing that.
I just see how she's going to react.
You know, you're really a child. You're really, after all the stuff that's been going on in this show, and there you are going, hee-hee-hee. Hosting a potluck that is focusing on everyone's favorite meat dishes, this will give everyone the opportunity to sample different types of recipes, have the guests bring a card that has the recipe on it for those who would like to serve the dish at home. What?
I think you bring it like a card with a recipe, and then you make them eat it.
Yeah.
You make them eat it.
As part of the party.
So what do you mean you make them eat it?
You cook the dish, and then you pull the card out of a hat, and you go, oh, you just got flamingo. You just got roast flamingo. Go ahead, have yourself a good time with that.
And you make them eat it?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to eat it if you pull it out of the hat.
Oh, get out of here. I've never heard of any kind of a game like that. All right, we have to take a 24-hour break now. A 24-hour break here from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's been a great pleasure to be with you guys here. Our second night on TuneIn, man. You know.
What are you saying about the boiled flamingo or whatever? I
didn't say anything about boiled flamingo. I'm asking you, what do you mean forcing them to eat it?
The guy pulls a card out of a hat for boiled flamingo wing.
I've never heard of any party like that before in my life.
I think it's common in Miami.
Oh, I see. So what we do is we come to Miami's, these parties in Miami, with a card, a recipe on how to boil flamingo, and we make them eat it.
Phil, that's not the first time you use that phrase, so you should be very comfortable with it. Thank you.
Well, you're sick. Phil Hendry Show, see you tomorrow night.